Get your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. How many have ever heard a preacher say, the Apostle Paul was the greatest preacher ever? You ever heard that said? I don't know if I've ever said it, but I've heard that many, many times. How many have actually thought he was probably the greatest preacher ever to have lived? But did you know? This is interesting. Did you know that in his day, there was a lot of people who didn't think so? We're going to look here tonight. And chapter number 1, verses 1 through 13, we're going to read. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm unto you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called in fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much. We have the marvelous privilege to have in our hands the Word of God. I pray, oh God, tonight as we look to your words, our hearts might be lifted up to you, that we might have some understanding we've not had in the past. And Lord, we would certainly be a people unlike the Corinthians who were so divided over personalities. I pray that you might bless and work, give us the wisdom and the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems like that the Apostle Paul was often attacked as not being legitimate. In this text, we find the Corinthians comparing men and each declaring their own champion. Matter of fact, Scripture a little later condemns such actions, and they are called fleshly. You might want to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 3, if you notice verse 3 and 4, it says, fear yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Well, there were those amongst these early Christians that questioned some things about the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, if you'd go with me to the book of Galatians for a moment, chapter number 1, book of Galatians and chapter number 1. And I'm going to take you, I'm going to start in verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1, get my pages to turn there, and I'm going to start in verse number 6, and I want us to notice here what it says. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have, let him be accursed. Those are strong words, and to repeat it. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years I went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now what I want you to think about here for a moment is this. It seems as though that there were those in Galatia, perhaps in Corinth, that questioned his education as a minister of Christ. And so Paul, he takes some time here to give his credentials. And it's not in a traditional way. By the way, many do not understand this. Do you know you don't have to be in Bible school to become a pastor? There is nothing in the Word of God that teaches that. And matter of fact, many so-called Bible schools are not local church-oriented. That would be like having a doctor being taught by somebody that's not oriented in the field of medicine, or doesn't want any hospitals or anything of that nature. And so we find that Paul, he's saying, hey, listen, here is what my credentials are. Now, there were those that seemed to like the eloquence of Apollos. He evidently had an eloquent way about him. But the Apostle Paul, in thinking about that, he says this in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God uses different people for different things. And so we look here and we find there are those who evidently question his education. I find today that, matter of fact, I could take you across the river to a church in Omaha and show you a pastor who never went to Bible college, who's been in that pulpit for nearly 25 years. God has blessed his ministry. I could also take you to the home of many that I went to Bible school with that never went anywhere. And many of them don't even go to church anymore. So anyway, that's a whole other story. So there was the question. There were those who criticized his manner of preaching. 2 Corinthians, I like this. Chapter number 10, verse 10 says, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. You read that and you say, he was the greatest preacher ever, and there are those who are saying his speech was contemptible. Wow, isn't that interesting? And so they criticized the way he preached, evidently. In defending his position, he gives us, I believe, a definition of what an apostle is. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, as he's speaking to these people, trying to straighten about on this issue and many other things. By the way, the church at Corinth seems to be the most sinful church, the most fleshly oriented church of all of them. He says in chapter number 9, verse 1 and 2, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. And so he defends and he says, here's what an apostle is. And it's one in the work of the Lord who has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember on one occasion, Paul said that he was an apostle that saw Christ out of due season. He didn't meet him before his death, burial, and resurrection, but he did meet him on the road to Damascus, did he not? I believe one of the greatest reasons for writing this epistle is the need to put away all divisiveness. Go down verse number 10 with me, please. Verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren. What's that word, beseech? I beg you. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be what? Perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, the admonition of this verse is profound, and yet it's very simple. Be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. God's called us to be one. God's called us to a particular task as a local church. Every local church has the task of reaching their area for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that not true? And so we have a purpose. We have a commission's been given to all of us. We have a Lord who's the same for all of us. We have a Bible that we all are to use and obey and to follow after. And so he says here, very simply, be of the same mind. Now think about that for a few minutes with me, if you would, please. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There is none other that you and I are to be. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if we were to turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 and read the context, we would find immediately that that mind is one of humility. It's a humble mind. And by the way, humility doesn't put us in the judgment seat without a thorough examination of ourselves. And so we find here that we are to allow his mind to be in us. Now, I find something interesting in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. He says, among you that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Now, that word perfect in the Word of God does not mean that we are without sin. Now, thank God, we've been made perfect in Christ. Amen? We've been made perfect in him. But I'll guarantee you that if I talk to some relative in your family, they're going to say, you're not perfect yet. And anyway, that's another story. But perfect, often in the Word of God, is referring to maturity, being mature. Thus, joining together ought to be with maturity. Now, think about little children. You put two children in a room with toys, and what do? They both want the same toy. It doesn't matter the other guy's got six toys and this one has one. The guy with six wants the one has. And somehow they're going to figure out how to scrap and to fight over every little object. The last job I would want is what my daughter does with daycare. I would go absolutely nuts. She's getting close, but I would have already been there. Because that goes on and on and on. A lot of people, they say, boy, how did you raise five teenagers at once in the house? It was easier than when they were little kids fighting over little stuff. But that's what they do. And it is those that have learned how to lay it aside or let it go that are mature. There's a Bible word for that, and that is very simply to forgive. And so we find that the Lord's teaching us something here. We are to be perfectly joined together. What was wrong with Corinth? What was wrong with the church there? They weren't joined together. What was their problem? They had personalities in mind. And even though one is saying, hey, I'm of Christ, it was out of a prideful issue, or it would not have been condemned here in Scripture. And so we find that this was going on, and the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, is telling, hey, wait a minute. You need to be on the same page. And how are you going to do that? Have the mind of Christ. let this mind, by the way, that word let, allow it to be. How do we get the mind of Christ? Well, if you got a Bible, guess what? You're finding out everything God knows or that God wants you to know. And you get to learn and put all those things into your mind that it might be a part of you. But notice also, he says that we be of the same mind and in the same judgment. If our judgment is to be the same, then equal application must be made to others and ourselves. I mentioned a while ago Jerry Nadler. Just for the record's sake, he's an idiot. Should not be in Congress. And most of all, should not be in charge of a committee. And by the way, he said that the riots are myths. Have you seen that? But you look, and here he is with a face mask that's not on, telling those guys how terrible they are for not having their face masks on. And we need to make equal application. Amen? I saw one of these little things says they want to go from here to where it's that, what do you call that thing, the hijab or whatever? It's a scarf that covers everything up but your eyeballs. So I mentioned a while ago, I think where we ought to go is to the face mask. We need to go to muzzles, especially for news media. How many say amen, preacher? Judgment is never to be based on our likes and dislikes. Seriously. You know, there are preachers I like to listen to, and there's others I don't like to listen to. I remember years ago I had a young man, he came to church here, and I got done, and he'd been there two or three Sundays. He walked up to me after church, and he says, I really like it here. He says, you don't yell and scream at people. And you're just, you know, very calm and so forth. And I thought, you should have been here the week before that. And he was more interested in the mannerism than he was in what's true and righteous. And there's those that I like to listen to. There's those that I don't care to listen to. It's harder for me to get. But I have learned this. That even to those that seem most boring to us, there's a message from God that we need to glean. Go back in the Old Testament, think about the word glean. You find it, especially in the book of Ruth, and what took place. They were out with the harvesters, and it was the provision that God had made for those who were poor, is that they could follow after those who harvested, and anything that was left on the ground or left on the plant, they could pick that up. They gleaned it. They got all the leftovers, so to speak, and that was theirs. One of the things you would have to stop and realize is that most gleaning is not what on one occasion we find in that book, handfuls on purpose, but it was reaching into the plants where it's hardest to get at, going to the ground to get it. And sometimes it's more difficult to get it than other times. And yet God wants us to glean from anybody and everything. You know, we can learn from everybody. Amen? Seriously. I learn from kids a lot. And probably learn from kids more than I do older folks. I don't know why, but maybe it's my, I don't know why. But we can learn from anybody. And you and I need to be in that process. Now, isn't it amazing how many speak of how they could never preach to a group but know how others are supposed to? I find that interesting. Paul, what's the problem at Corinth? They were divided over something. What were they divided over? Personalities. What was the problem? They weren't looking to Christ. They were not of the same mind. They were not of the same judgment. They were fleshly. They were carnal. And to be carnal is to be out of the will of God. Brethren, this is an easy area for us to get involved if we're not careful. Well, great verses that God gives us here about this very problem that goes on clear back in the day of the Apostle Paul. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that is ours to be here. We thank you for the Word of God. Oh Lord, I pray that through its reading, its preaching, through our meditation, that all of these things, we might each have the mind of Christ. And certainly that your mind be in each of us. For we know when that be true, then we're all on the same page. And that we might thus judge from the same standard, not our likes and dislikes, but the precious Word of God and what you have to say. I pray that you'll work on our hearts as we leave tonight. Cause the fellowship to be sweet. And Lord God, I pray for those who could not or not here tonight, that you might work in their hearts. And I pray that real soon each and every one can be back in the house of the Lord. And I pray for your blessing upon this nation. Somehow, oh God, bring folks to their knees. We find the blatant, horrible, senseless things that are going on in our country, and we need you. And Lord, we want to blame them, but perhaps we need to blame ourselves for our lack of concern for those that we could have reached. Give us a heart for the souls of men, and bless us in that endeavor, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.